Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Thursday, October the 20th, 2022. On this edition of the Politocrat,
I am a fighter and not a quitter. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
When the lady is for quitting, Liz Truss resigns as Prime Minister. That plus the notion of governance and big concerns about governance in the United Kingdom. All of that coming up. Next.
Mandate built on fantasy economics, yeah. And it ended in disaster. Yeah. The country's got nothing to show for it except the destruction of the economy, yeah. And the implosion of the Tory party. Yeah. I've got the list here. 45p tax cut, gone. Yeah. Corporation tax cut, gone. 20p tax cut, gone. 2-year energy freeze, gone. Tax-free shopping, gone. Economic credibility, gone. And her supposed best friend, the former Chancellor, he's gone as well. They're all gone. So why is she still here?
Fear not, Sir Keir, because I can tell you, Liz Truss is no longer here. At number 10, at least. As of next week, because Liz Truss today resigned her post as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and also as leader of the Conservative Party. Thank goodness she did. It was inevitable that she would. And I was right all along. Yes, I will show off about that, dear listener. I hope you're well on this Thursday. I'm going to show off a bit here. I was absolutely right about this, that Liz Truss would not survive at number 10 into the 2024 general election. I tweeted that on the very day that the result of the Conservative leadership contest was announced. That would have been September the 5th of 2022. That particular day, literally maybe a few minutes after the result was announced, I tweeted out that Liz Truss would not remain as Prime Minister by the time the 2024 general election came around in the United Kingdom. And I proved to be correct. And by the way, it's not that difficult a prediction to make. If you, like I, were a keen and avid follower of the Conservative leadership contest throughout the summer of this year, you would have seen that Liz Truss was not ready to become Prime Minister. And I get it, there's no such thing as being ready for a job like that. You're pushed into the job if you win, and either you have the bona fides when you go work at things or you don't. But it was very clear that even before she got in, Liz Truss was never going to be a good Prime Minister for the United Kingdom. Never, ever, ever, ever. She was going to be good for one small group of people who I'll talk about perhaps as we go along here. But she was never going to be a good, effective governor of government. She was never going to be a good, effective leader, shall I say, of government. And this is what happens when you are the first person in the history of elections in the United Kingdom to become Prime Minister without having been voted in by a majority of the electorate and without being chosen by your party's MPs. Liz Truss was the first person, she was the first person ever in the history of Britain to be elected to Prime Minister without being voted in by the vast majority of the country through the parliamentary elections, because you don't vote directly for Liz Truss unless you live in her constituency in South Norfolk or South West Norfolk or wherever it is there in East Anglia, North Anglia, wherever. But she was the first person to become Prime Minister without the benefit of that kind of vote, plus without the benefit of being chosen by a majority of Conservative members of Parliament. This is the first time ever. In other words, The only reason that Liz Truss was able to get into that job at number 10 as Prime Minister and leader of the party of the Conservatives is because less than 0.1% of the United Kingdom, which is roughly what? Goodness knows, there's only 80,000 people. Let me put it that way. Is only because she was at number 10 only because 80,000 people voted her in. That is not democracy at all. That is a select handful of people, mostly white, mostly male, mostly over the age of 65, and most of them very rich, healthily rich, sicky rich, awful rich, stinking rich, were able to vote her in. And surprise, surprise, all the things that she represented had nothing to do with the average person. All the things she represented had nothing to do with the working class. All the things she represented had nothing to do with us. And everything to do with the 1% of the country who usually doesn't pay any tax at all or pays very little tax. So why should one be surprised, dear listener, when even during the hustings, during all those events, the hustings during the summer, where Liz Truss talked about growth and talked about making sure that we unleash the potential of the markets and of this and of that and the other and the corporations and we're going to be on the side of them and all the rest, who can be surprised that she'd be doing all that? No one should be surprised by that at all. We all knew who she was representing, and the IEA, a think tank, a far-right-wing libertarian think tank, economic think tank, far-right economics. These people are Milton Friedman on steroids, okay? And these folks believe in absolutely tanking the economic infrastructure of the United Kingdom to enrich a small few. And there's lots of people at 55 Tufton Street, which is the place where all this happens, the IEA, and all the rest of these people who are people who run a lot of policy, who really do stick up for the most bizarre things, who believe in basically making the poor poorer, and who believe in gutting the economic infrastructure of the country. And those are the people who were running the 10 Downing Street when Liz Truss was in there. And she's still in there. She's going to be there for another week. But these are the people who are running and who were running 10 Downing Street. Absolutely were running Liz Truss and running Kwasi Kwarteng. And both of them have ties to these groups, particularly Kwasi Kwarteng, who, of course, was the Chancellor. And when the Chancellor at that time, Kwasi Kwarteng, the first black person to be Chancellor of the Exchequer in the United Kingdom, announced that mini budget, which was a maximum disaster, on September the 23rd, 2022, that would have been a Friday, in the House of Commons. That was the beginning of the end for Liz Truss and for Kwasi Kwarteng. And this was done at the behest of the Prime Minister, who I believe was taking orders from the people at 55 Tufton Street, with their hedge fund managers, billionaires, and with the people at the IEA and all the rest, Tax Policy Alliance, all these people, who were really running Liz Truss. Liz Truss, as I've always told you, is an apt pupil. She studies up, she bones up, she absorbs the manuals, and then just spits out all the talking points. And when she forgets the talking point, she looks down at her notes and then repeats the talking point again. That was Liz Truss throughout all of the interviews she did with people like Beth Rigby on Sky News, with people like Laura Kunzberg on the BBC, and with everybody else. BBC Radio, those horrendous interviews last month that she did with all those local broadcasters on BBC local radio who took her to task and shredded her a new one. And she was so bad. She was so inept in the press conference last week where she walked out after 10 minutes, 8 of which she spoke for. Liz Truss is not very bright, and that is not anything but the truth. She doesn't even know how to BS her way out of a paper bag. That's one thing Boris Johnson could do, the degenerate that he was. was to BS his way out of a paper bag, lie his way out of it. Now, Liz Truss lied as well, but she doesn't know how to finesse her way out of a paper bag at all. Liz Truss never had the bona fides. She never had the bona fides to be prime minister. She did not. The job was way above her. And it was the people, in my view, at 55 Tufton Street in London, these people who really love this bizarre, anti-people economic policy, those libertarians who believe in letting the markets absolutely serve them to the last $1 billion or pounds. It was those people who were running the operation. Those are the people who are responsible for this disaster capitalism that we had with this budget that absolutely made a lot more people in the United Kingdom poorer and made them a lot more sick, because I'm sure they took on a lot more prescription drugs, and made them have to pay increased mortgages. This was completely unnecessary. It didn't have to happen. But that fateful day of September the 23rd, 2022, literally 18 days after Liz Truss was announced as the winner of the Conservative leadership contest, made a really, really, really big difference. It was a really, really fateful day, because this mini budget destroyed a lot of people. Destroyed a lot of people's economic lives. And 55 Tufton Street was at the heart of that, in my view. Liz Truss couldn't find a way out of the press conference room that she was in to launch her campaign. Liz Truss could not find her way off the stage at the United Nations. Turned left, walked off the wrong way. Turned right, rather, walked off the wrong way. The person who had to make sure she went in the right direction came on the stage, kind of pulled her and said, no, go back this way, go this way. And that's Liz Truss, directed to the very end. She is not very bright. And I'm not saying something that the people who were closer to her don't know. I'm not. This is an open secret in Westminster. It's an open secret with people who have dealt with her. It's an open secret with world leaders who have spoken to her. They all know that she is not the smartest person in the room. Not by a long shot. Boris Johnson wasn't either. The one thing Boris Johnson had was the fake bluster that enabled him to BS his way through half of what it was he did, which was not a whole lot, except for damage to the United Kingdom. And now we've had two consecutive prime ministers from the Tory party who have absolutely set this country back, the United Kingdom, at least 100 years in terms of the long term. Economic infrastructure gone and damaged. All the rest of it. It was just miserable stuff. As Sir Keir Starmer said, all these things gone. And I'm telling you, a lot more than that was gone, Sir Keir, because Sir Keir Starmer, by the way, the leader of the Labour Party, who now stands to become the Prime Minister whenever the general election gets called. I'll talk about the general election coming up in a few minutes. But Liz Truss never had the bona fides for this job. She was not long for it. As I said before, I tweeted out on the very day, literally a few minutes after the result was announced, on September 5th, 2022, I tweeted at the Popcorn REEL that she would not be long for the job, and that by the time the 2024 election came, she would not be in at number 10. Just was not going to be in. And it turned out that I was not only correct, but that she lasted just 44 days before she announced her resignation. And by the time she leaves, it will be around 52 days in office or thereabouts. Really one of the, truly one of the shortest premierships ever in British history. The problem for Liz Truss was two things. One, she didn't listen to anybody and was very arrogant. Even when she announced, and I'll play you the entirety of the, 92 seconds of resignation speech that she gave today. even when she was speaking, if you watch the video, she was smiling. A slight smirk came over her face. I mean, this is a game for her. She thinks this is a joke. Oh, I can put Prime Minister of the United Kingdom on my resume. Will you hire me now? That is how government is being approached in the United Kingdom. And again, I'll get to that coming up in the after the next break. But Liz Truss, I think, showed you why she was never going to be long for the job. During the hustings, Rishi Sunak, I've said this over and over again, said that we cannot afford to have the economic policy that Liz Truss is proposing because it's going to cause major catastrophe in this country and for the markets. He said that over and over and over again. Did anybody listen? Not many, except for the 60,000 people who voted for Rishi Sunak in that leadership contest. Aside from them and some of us and some of you, Rishi Sunak's words fell on deaf ears. The corporate news media in the United Kingdom, and I'll get to them also in the next break, didn't make any hay about this at all. And the people who wanted Liz Truss to win, I'll get to that as well soon, and I've already talked about who they are. The people who wanted Liz Truss to win were the same people who basically gave money, in my view at least, to the corporate news media in the United Kingdom and basically paid them to push a certain point of view, to lobby a certain point of interest, which is their interest. So Liz Truss was a prime minister for 55 Tufton Street and for the super duper rich. That is who she was serving. She had arrogance, as I said. She had contempt. She didn't listen to anybody. The other thing about Liz Truss was that she surrounded herself with the people who were all the yes men and yes women. And you cannot be a good leader like that. You have to be prepared to surround yourself with some people who are going to push back on you and keep you honest. When you surround yourself by sycophants and you surround yourself with yes women and yes men, you are never going to be the leader that you could be. You're never going to be that leader because you will be asking for the opinions of people who you know already agree with you and so therefore can't give you honest advice because they're too busy sucking up to you. And because of that, you do not get the benefit of advice that can help you and fortify you and make you stronger and make you wiser. Liz Truss surrounded her whole cabinet. She put the whole whole cabinet of hers was pretty much all right-wingers. All of them were. All good friends of hers, like Kwasi Kwarteng is also a right-winger. And you can't govern that way, even if only 80,000 people vote for you. You still can't govern that way because you're not governing for 80,000 people. You are governing for 68 million people across the United Kingdom. If your title was Prime Minister of 80,000 people, that would be understood. But that is not Liz Truss's official title. Her title is Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. That's her title. So, hey, there we go. I mean, Liz Truss gone. Well, she will be. Resigned, announced it. She actually did mention the word resign in her speech, unlike in Boris Johnson's speech. Again, I'll talk about all of this after the break. But when you surround yourself with people who sound like you do, you are never going to learn anything. And when you're in government doing that, that's very dangerous. She sacked all of the moderates, and by the time she got toward the end of her premiership, she ended up bringing in moderates that she sacked from the previous government, or that she would refuse to hire, like a Jeremy Hunt. You're not here anymore, bye, you're not in. I mean, there was just no chance. And who did she bring in? Jeremy Hunt to be the Chancellor. By the way, that was not her choice. It was, in all likelihood, the 1922 committee's choice to bring him in. A moderate who supported Rishi Sunak. Grant Shapps, who supported Rishi Sunak. A moderate. More moderate to right, but a moderate. supported Rishi Sunak, was made the Home Secretary yesterday. Because Suella Braverman, the right winger, the far right winger, who was Home Secretary, resigned, in quotes. Oh, there was something to do with some bit of information that I passed on through a private email or through my private phone to a Tory MP, and well, this is about migration and this is something that could affect the markets, and so therefore, yeah, I'm in violation of the ministerial code and I'm going to resign. Now, let me tell you something. I don't think she resigned. And if she did resign, I know she has a resignation letter. If she did, she did it with the purpose of trying to run for the leadership. She moved a little bit ahead of the gun, and that's what politicians who have any sense of survival do. She knew darn well what she was doing. That wasn't an honest mistake. I don't believe her. I don't believe her when she says that. Suella Braverman, who used to be the Attorney General of the United Kingdom, would you believe? The far right winger that she is, used to be the Attorney General of the United Kingdom. And there she is basically breaking the law, at least violating the ministerial code, which means an instant resignation. Now, the Tories, they don't know how to resign when ministerial code violations happen. Look at Priti Patel, the previous Home Secretary. She didn't resign. In fact, her Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, allowed her to stay in the job, and he made it very clear on WhatsApp that let's form a square around the Pritzker. Let's protect her. I'm going to be getting to that later on. But the bottom line is Suella Braverman is doing things in her own self-interest. And I'll get to that too. Yeah, lots to get to, isn't there? Liz Truss really did not have a chance. And the danger of electing somebody who only 80,000 people happened to vote for is very dangerous. Very dangerous. So Liz Truss, who just 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks and 1 day ago at the Conservative Party conference in Birmingham, in England, decided, or someone in the Tory party decided, to play the music Moving On Up by M People. And by the way, the Tories did not get permission to play the song. But if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it already spelled doom for Liz Truss. I'm moving on up, you're moving on out. Those are just a few of the lyrics from the song by M People.
We've had some pretty tense moments, particularly around Brexit, but I've really not seen anything like tonight. What I understand is that we were on a confidence vote, which means if you voted against your government, you'd lose the whip, because in essence you were saying you had no confidence in the government. Then at the dispatch box, in the wind-up, the minister said it wasn't a confidence vote, which created chaos in the division lobbies. There was then a sort of 20-minute delay between the vote happening and the result being announced, which, by the way, wasn't even close. The government won it by nearly 100 votes. But I just think the whole thing is extraordinary, and somewhere in between this, the vote being called and the result being announced, the Chief Whip resigned.
And have we got that confirmed? Because we've heard these rumours.
Well,
but
I haven't had it confirmed, but it now seems, well, the rumours seem to be growing. They haven't been dismissed by government.
What would that do to the Whip's office's authority, that they have been telling Conservative MPs, in effect today, if you vote against this, you will be voting to bring down the government and you'll lose your membership of the parliamentary party for now?
To be perfectly honest, this whole affair is inexcusable. It is a pitiful reflection on the Conservative parliamentary party at every level. And it reflects really badly, obviously, on the government of the day.
Do you think there's any coming back from this?
I don't think so. But I have to say I've been of that view really since two weeks ago. This is an absolute disgrace. As a Tory MP of 17 years, who's never been a minister, who's got on with it loyally most of the time, I think it's a shambles and a disgrace. I think it is utterly appalling.
So I say, you seem quietly...
I'm livid. And, you know, I really shouldn't say this, but I hope all those people that put Liz Truss in number 10, I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it for the ministerial red box. I hope it was worth it to sit round the cabinet table, because the damage they have done to our party is extraordinary.
I'm sorry, it's very difficult to convey. You look just furious about this.
I am. I've had enough. I've had enough of talentless people putting their tick in the right box, not because it's in the national interest, but because it's in their own personal interest to achieve ministerial position. And I know I speak for hundreds of backbenchers who right now are worrying for their constituents all the time, but now worrying about their own personal circumstances, because there is nothing as X as an ex-MP. And a lot of my colleagues are wondering, as many of their constituents are wondering, how they're going to pay their mortgages if this all comes to an end soon.
What do you do next? How do you move on from this?
Well, I'm leaving Parliament at the next general election, and I'm leaving voluntarily. But unless we get our act together and behave like grown-ups, I'm afraid many hundreds of my colleagues, perhaps 200, will be leaving at the behest of their electorate. So that's really pretty much all I've got to say. Patience reached the limit.
I think we've all had our patience reached with Liz Truss, and she'd only been in the job 44 days before she announced her resignation, which was today. And that audio was of the Conservative MP Charles Walker, who yesterday, and that was from yesterday, was saying, this is literally less than 24 hours before the resignation of Liz Truss, was saying that he'd had enough. And you heard him angrily saying that this had gone too far and that enough was enough. And I played a clip of him in the previous episode of this podcast where he was being interviewed by Beth Rigby of Sky News, and he was saying similar things then. But again, as I said then, with that audio, if you watch the video of those comments, you can see how furious he is. And that's why you heard the reporter there on that clip you just heard from the BBC saying, I really can't describe this. You are just livid. Yeah, you were angry. And he says, yeah, I'm livid. And yeah, rightly so. And he talked about how he is fed up of having talentless people. Well, yeah, Liz Truss did not have any talent or ability for this job. And I think that those comments yesterday, and it was a crazy day yesterday, I don't even have the real time to go through all of it in detail. There was so much going on yesterday in the House of Commons, yesterday being Wednesday, obviously. And the House of Commons was just absolutely nuts yesterday. The PMQs, which I played a clip from with Sir Keir Starmer, and the clip I played earlier from Liz Truss saying that she was a fighter, not a quitter. Goodness gracious. And all the rest of it, there was a jostling of a Conservative MP who was being pushed into the no area of the divisional lobby. There was a vote that he was pushed into that he didn't want to do, and it got a little bit physical, according to some MPs. There were videos taken, there was photos taken. Haven't seen the video yet, but there's a photo that was taken by a Labour MP named Chris Bryant. He had to take the photo down. Sergeant of Arms, or whomever it was, recommended that he did, because he was part of an investigation about intimidation of an MP on the route to voting, which is a very serious matter, very serious offence. And it was treated supposedly as a fracking vote. Then it was treated as a no confidence vote. It had originally been a no confidence vote. Then it wasn't. Then it was. I mean, it took until the next morning, this morning around 3 a.m., until reporters were getting text messages saying, oh, you know, this actually was not about fracking at all. It was a no confidence vote. This is a Labour motion on fracking and daring the Tory MPs to come out and support fracking. And they ended up supporting it by voting down the Labour motion on a ban on fracking. And then we've come to find out later on that this was actually about a no confidence vote in Liz Truss. So Tory MPs were told in no uncertain terms that if they voted against this motion or voted for the Labour motion in terms of ban on fracking, they would lose the whip of the Conservative Party. So the Conservative MPs voted for fracking, even though they didn't want to, some of them, in order to avoid losing the whip, meaning that they could not take part in the parliamentary activities of the Conservative Party. That's what that meant, losing the whip. That's what that means. If you lose the whip in a political party, that means you do not have any engagement or dealings or ability to vote on parliamentary matters inside the House of Commons on behalf of your party. You're not able to do that anymore. And so people didn't want to do that. So this is a way of intimidating Conservative MPs. And this was just literally less than 24 hours before Liz Truss would announce her resignation. The Conservative chief whip and the deputy chief whip had resigned initially, or so it was, we were told, or we were led to believe. It wasn't ever confirmed outright, at least not while I've been looking through these things over the last 24 hours. Then we come to find out they really didn't resign. They're still in post. I mean, this was just an absolute monkey wrench of a government. Add to that Suella Braverman, who I mentioned earlier, the Home Secretary, quitting the job or being fired. Come to find out that a number of English newspapers had reported that for 90 minutes, an hour and a half, Suella Braverman and Liz Truss were in a shouting match. An hour and a half steel cage match between Suella Braverman and Liz Truss, upon which Suella Braverman said, "I'm done." Or upon which, depending on who you believe, the Prime Minister said, "You're out of here." And basically, the resignation letter, so-called, of Suella Braverman could be boiled down to two words: with pleasure. Because she was glad to leave. And her resignation letter, Suella Braverman, made it very clear that she didn't think the Prime Minister was doing a good job, didn't think the Prime Minister was up for the job, and basically came out and said the Prime Minister should resign. I mean, that's the Cliff Notes version. There was so much going on yesterday. It was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. But once the turmoil and chaos of yesterday occurred, there was no way that Liz Truss was going to see through the end of this week. And that's exactly what happened. She did not see through the end of the week. The very next day, today, she announced her resignation. And it was how she announced it. As I mentioned earlier to you, dear listener, she was gleeful in a way. There was a bit of glee from her. And that, again, shows you that that is someone who does not care about government. She doesn't care about being Prime Minister. I mean, she loves being Prime Minister, but she doesn't care about what the office means. And she doesn't care about the people. In Britannia Unchanged in 2012, she, among other Conservative MPs, made it very clear what she thought of the average person in Britain. Oh, well, you know, they're not grafters, they're lazy, they're this, they're that. Liz Truss had contempt for the everyday person. She talked about militant trade unionists, militant unions, oh, anti-growth coalitions. This was very childish, it was very naive, and it was very contemptuous. And 44 humiliating days in, Liz Truss had to go out before the cameras and tell you that she was done. Arrogant, foolish, unintelligent, and really somebody who now, I think, is going to go down in infamy as the worst Prime Minister alongside Boris Johnson. I think both of them are. I think Boris Johnson and her are co-equals on the mantle of depravity. Boris Johnson chiefly, and then Liz Truss. I mean, both of them are, I have to say, just absolutely abhorrent. Abhorrent. One of them just broke the laws and broke the rules and was just a disgusting human being. And the other one just didn't care about the job, didn't care about people, just cared only about being Prime Minister, just like Boris Johnson. But it was very, very clear to me that Liz Truss didn't govern at all, never really governed, never really was involved in those kinds of decisions on a serious, serious level, and just did not care enough about the job. She was never a good choice. And I think Charles Walker summed it all up when he said, "I'm sick of it, I've had enough." And he also said that He's going to be leaving office when the general election comes. And he also added on top of that, that hundreds of backbenchers agree with him. Liz Truss never stood a chance. She never had the majority of her party with her. And all this chaos is engineered by a number of things. First of all, the effect of Brexit, which has destabilized everything in the United Kingdom on an infrastructure level, economically and politically, and morally as well, quite frankly. And these money makers, these money market makers who have polluted the game of politics. It's a game now, I hate to say it, but it is. You've got foreign money, you've got dark money, you've got Russia money that has infected everything across the world, but particularly here in the United Kingdom. You have London grad, which is called that for a reason. Russian billionaires and Russian oligarchs absolutely having their money laundered in London. Everybody knows it. And all of this, I think, has a profound effect on what's going on. There's a lot of money being poured into these kinds of contests by London, by Russian oligarchs, frankly. There are Russians who are very wealthy who are given peerages. Boris Johnson gave this Russian, whoever his name was, billionaire, peerages. He's in the House of Lords sitting there. These are non-dom billionaires. These people don't live here. They basically visit. They don't spend any, take any, they don't even pay any taxes here. Non-dom status. Before people start worrying about immigration, Swilla Braverman, start worrying about these billionaires who come into the United Kingdom, don't pay any tax, and don't live here. And I think the larger point that needs to be made here, dear listener, is how did we get to this point? How do we get to this kind of chaos? When the emperor of economic chaos, Kwasi Kwarteng, came in and really did a number on the markets and on the pound, tanking it, where did this all come from? I mean, all the news media interviews, some of them I've just played to you portions of, none of them get to the heart of this. I wonder why. But it's very, very clear, to me at least, very clear, that you have all these outside influences who are running the show now. As I said, whether it's 55 Tufton Street or whether it is Russian oligarchs, they are running the show. And how did we get here? Brexit was a key. Destabilizing the economics of the country, destabilizing the political climate in the country, and also making things very contentious. We've had two MPs killed since Brexit, or since the referendum was being fought for. Two MPs killed. One Labour, one Conservative. The atmosphere has become very violent and very volatile. Very contentious. Social media, Russian oligarchs, trolls, dark money, London grad, all of it. And now you no longer have any real government, particularly on the Tory side. There's no such thing as government on the Tory side. There's no such thing as governance. There isn't. There isn't any. Where's the governance in the United Kingdom under the Tories? When you have five prime ministers in a six-year stretch, that is not government. That is not even democracy. It's a terrifying thing what's going on in the United Kingdom right now. And you've got people like Liz Truss who didn't ever care about the job. She just stood there, signed papers, had meetings, repeated talking points. That was the extent of who she was in office. And when you get to a point where you've polluted government so much that people don't trust it anymore, you're on dangerous ground. Because when the people turn their back on government and don't believe in it and don't believe in voting, it's over. You then have a dictatorship. And what you have now is a quasi-dictatorship because you've got this rotating fiefdom of self-interested Tories in number 10. And then that small coterie of people who are vying for the leadership of the party and premiership of the country. And this is not the way democracy is supposed to work. It's not the way it runs. This is not democracy. It's not. Five prime ministers in 6 years? Are you kidding? The fifth one will be the one who is going to get the most votes. And I'll tell you who I think that is. I think I've already told you. It's not democracy if you have five prime ministers in 6 years in a country. You don't even get that in some of the most thuggish countries on earth. Five prime ministers in 6 years? Four chancellors in what? 2-3 years? Three chancellors at least in the last 6 weeks? Three home secretaries in the last... I mean, it's just insane. It's actually four chancellors, I think, in 4 months. Or whatever it is. It's crazy. And dangerous. And this is not a good look. It really is not a good look at all. At all. The country is vulnerable. The infrastructure is busted. You've got millions of people, let me not forget them, who are suffering. They can't pay their mortgage. They have to think about whether or not they have to put their house up for sale. And in a market like this, a very depressed market with inflation rates through the roof and with, I mean, it's 10.1% now in the UK, for God's sake. There's no way you're going to put your house up on the market. You take a big loss. And with the mortgage rate going, and the mortgage rate going up to around 6% in the next few months. Oh, come on. Yeah, the interest rate. I mean, this is just absolute. Listen, this is really problematic. I mean, I'm just saying that to say the very least of it. The inflation rate is 10.7%. The interest rate for mortgages, it's going to be at least 6%. I mean, this is really dangerous. Energy bills through the roof. There's only going to be a 6-month cap. You have to bring in a new chancellor. When you keep chopping and changing like this, this is akin to what dictators do when they keep shifting the goalposts, keep moving the goalposts around. Oh, I'm going to bring this person back and take that one out. I'll bring this one out, take this one back. I mean, come on. No one's still talking like that, but that's the truth. The Conservative Party is running things like a dictatorship now. And the people of the country need to be able to decide, which means there needs to be a general election. Now, the Tories are not going to do that. They are scared to death of doing anything like that. They don't want to lose power. The smart thing for them to do would be damage limitation, damage control. Take the L, call the general, and see you in the morning. When you have lost 250 seats in the House of Commons. Arrivederci. Arrivederzen. Cheerio. I mean, that's what the Conservative Party has to deal with now. But either way, that party is finished for 20 years. They are done governing because the amount of damage that the party's done and the amount of damage that outside forces, i.e. A 55 Tufton Street, the Russians, and dare I say Steve Bannon, has done to the Conservative Party is beyond comprehension. It really is. And I'm fed up of the corporate news media who I think, again, are paid and funded, and their billionaire owners are funded by or paid or get money from these ne'er-do-well groups of people. So they never will broach these issues that I'm talking about. They're never going to. And I can't stand that they just deliberately forget to talk about it, but they don't. They know what they're doing, and they know what the point of not talking about it is. By the time we get to Monday or Tuesday of next week, we should have a good idea of who the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom will be. And Charles Walker, by the way, said that, well, that he really is worried about those people who can't pay their mortgages. I believe him. I don't share his politics. I don't agree with his politics. But I do agree with the fact that you're going to have a lot of people having a hard time finding money to pay for their heating bills, energy bills, and also for their mortgages. The UK now is extremely vulnerable. And if it's not for the right-wing media, corporate news media, I think we'd be in a different place. If it's not for Brexit, I think we'd be in a different place. If the Labour Party didn't tank the election so badly in 2019, their worst loss since 1935, I think we'd be in a different place right now. If Cambridge Analytica and Facebook and all the rest of these weren't doing some horrible things, I think we would definitely be dealing with a different story right now. And Liz Truss would never have got to number 10 Downing Street. I think there's a constitutional crisis in the United Kingdom. There is a constitution in the United Kingdom, but it's not fixed. Not fixed. But I think now there needs to be rule changes regarding how people come into power. You can't have a revolving door of any party, in this case the Conservatives, but any party, without first going to the people of the country and asking them what they think and what they want. And now for the last, outside of the 2019 general election, for the last 4.5 years, the people outside of one election haven't had a chance to have their say. Now, there was a 2017 snap general election, which is what Theresa May did. She called that and she had the decency to do it. Liz Truss will never do that. She doesn't have the decency. She never once picked up the phone during the first 44 days of her premiership to call Nicola Sturgeon or to call Mark Drakeford. Now, Mark Drakeford is the First Minister of Wales. Nicola Sturgeon is the First Minister of Scotland. Do you think Liz Truss, as the Prime Minister of the UK, would care to pick up the phone to the devolved nations and speak to their leaders? Do you think she would care to do that? No. Showed a bounteous amount of arrogance. Oh, no, I'm not going to talk to them. As I said earlier, she doesn't want to listen to people. Government is so key. And we need to ask what governance is, because it ain't governance under the Tories. What do we want from government? They have absolutely shrunk government to insignificance. That's what the Tories have done. They've shrunk government to insignificance. Completely shrunk government to insignificance. That's what they've done. There needs to be changes in the electoral system, just like they do here in the US. There needs to be changes. I mean, if the 1922 committee can set a threshold of rules where 100 nominations is the minimum that will be allowed, surely the larger government can do the same when it comes to the elections. 1922 committee aren't part of government. They are a Tory backbencher organization. So, lots of problems, lots of vulnerabilities in the government system in the United Kingdom. Lots of them. Brexit definitely has been a big problem in that regard. But there's a lot of issues that need to be ironed out and sorted out. When I come back, a few more thoughts on all of these things, or at least some of these things, or maybe something entirely new.
Here is Liz Truss's statement in full.
I came into office at a time of great economic and international instability. Families and businesses were worried about how to pay their bills. Putin's illegal war in Ukraine threatens the security of our whole continent. And our country has been held back for too long by low economic growth. I was elected by the Conservative Party with a mandate to change this. We delivered on energy bills and on cutting national insurance. And we set out a vision for a low-tax, high-growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. I recognise, though, Given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party. This morning, I met the chairman of the 1922 committee, Sir Graham Brady. We've agreed that there will be a leadership election to be completed within the next week. This will ensure that we remain on a path to deliver our fiscal plans and maintain our country's economic stability and national security. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen. Thank you.
Anna Soubry, and welcome to you, and just your thoughts on the last, where do we start, 24 hours, 48 hours, the day's events.
Look, it's dreadful. It's a chaos on a scale that we've never seen before. And one of the great political parties in the world is now absolutely in the most appalling of messes. But it goes further than that. I think that the Conservative Party has shown that it is unfit to govern. We can't trust them anymore. Boris Johnson was bad enough. He left, of course, in disgrace. It wasn't a policy fallout that led to his departure. He led in disgrace for all the reasons which have been well rehearsed, notably by Angela Rayner just in your last interview. And it's like we gave them one last chance. And we said, OK, try, you know, come up with a new leader, a new prime minister who can do the right thing by the country and put some stability and perhaps some competence in. But unfortunately, they came up with Liz Truss. And they knew what they were getting, the parliamentary party, but nevertheless, they put her forward to the membership. They know the state of the membership. It's been infiltrated and so on and so forth. And, of course, she's proved to be one of the worst prime ministers, well, probably second only to Boris Johnson, if not on an equal footing, because she just, unfortunately, was just not up for the job, the mini-budget and so on and so forth. And she's gone in these appalling circumstances in absolute chaos, and they can't be trusted again.
Everyone knew what Liz Truss was like. All the MPs who had worked with her knew what she was like. She set out her platform in the contest. And Rishi Sunak stood against her and he said, this is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. These are your tax cuts are delusional. And she was not put in by the MPs. She was put in by a handful of Conservative Party members and, you know, some of you may be in this room. A handful of people in this country were given the opportunity to choose the next Prime Minister. And I don't think we should go through that again. The Conservatives are now apparently intending to do the same thing again, but within a week. And there's a company called Tortoise Media. And it has signed up as Conservative Party members, a tortoise, an American, and a Ukrainian, and they paid £25 each. And that tortoise and that Ukrainian and that American, who are all fictitious, by the way, are now eligible to vote in this election. So what does that say about our democracy? God. We need a general election because we cannot afford to go through that again.
Wow. Right, let's hear some.
Oh, yeah, wow, right, fit, says Fiona Bruce. Let's hear some whatever. I mean, yeah, that's what Fiona Bruce says, right? Oh, wow, wow, let's hear some. Yeah, why not Fiona Bruce, you, the host of BBC Question Time, that's where the clip just came from. Why not have that conversation? Why not expound? Why not add or ask Camilla Cavendish, the columnist for the Financial Times of London? Why not ask her more about what she's saying? Because what you heard her say for the first minute plus of that audio, I think is very, very true. I agree 100%. First of all, and the clip before the one that you just heard at the end there also alluded to this too, Anna Soubry, the former Conservative, no longer in politics. Both Anna Soubry and Camilla Cavendish saying pretty much the same thing. Camilla Cavendish is just telling you about Liz Truss not being up to the task. Everybody knew. The media knew as well. The UK corporate news media were fully aware that Liz Truss was not up to the job of Prime Minister. They knew that all summer that she wasn't up to it. Yet They kept parading her. They kept putting out these polls. And YouGov put the polls out, so did others. Kept harping on these polls. Well, everybody says, a YouGov poll, that Liz Truss would win easily over Rishi Sunak. And you're watching these hustings, as I did all summer long. And you know this, dear listener, if you listen long enough to this podcast. I listened to every minute of those hustings. I watched every one of these hustings, every last one of them. And all throughout the summer, it was very, very clear and obvious that Rishi Sunak was far better positioned, far better qualified, far more intelligent, far more experienced with the economy. He was the Chancellor of the United Kingdom for 2 years, far better positioned to be Prime Minister than Liz Truss ever was. But of course, the corporate news media and the right wing, especially of the news media, made it very clear who they wanted in there, because they were represented by $1 billion or £1 billion interests. And that's who the media were representing. So they shilled on behalf of these billionaires and kept putting Liz Truss in our face every 2 minutes. Kept talking up Liz Truss all summer in a bid to convince a small slither of people in the country that they should vote for her. Nothing at all showed you you should be voting for someone like this, with an inflationary crisis, with a cost of living crisis, with mortgages going through the roof, with inflation going through the roof, with interest rates going up. Why would you vote for someone who wants to cut taxes on the rich in the middle of a global recession? Unless you are a very rich and selfish human being. That would be the only reason why you'd vote for Liz Truss. All summer long, Rishi Sunak was telling you that sugar rushes would be very dangerous for the country, and that he would not do that and mortgage the futures on the backs of future generations of British people. He was not going to do that. Liz Truss was quite willing to. And when Rishi Sunak said that he was not willing to do any of that, was not going to cut corporate taxes or cut the taxes of the rich, and ask for the rest of the country to pay for that for decades, Liz Truss arrogantly called him Project Fear. During the debates, during the hustings. Oh, Project Fear. And look what she's done. She has now scared the bejesus out of millions of people in the United Kingdom, because they don't know where they're going to be getting all this extra money from to get to pay their mortgage. Camilla Cavendish had it absolutely right in that last clip you heard. Everyone knew who Liz Truss was. I knew, and you knew, dear listener. You knew it too. You knew who she was. She was a busted flush before she became Prime Minister. Her accomplishments were specious at best. As I said to you over and over again, Theresa May demoted her from a position in the cabinet. And she didn't do anything extraordinary as International Trade Secretary. She did some trade deals. Many of those were very inconsequential. Couple of those, you had countries laughing in her face. Australia and Canada laughing in her face with these trade deals that gave up the shop to both Canada and Australia. They had to look at her and check to see if she was okay. And here in the United States, we wouldn't dare do any business with the United Kingdom for many reasons. No way the US was going to do any trade deals. I mean, there was all this magical, mystical, majestical fantasy making by Liz Truss. Oh, the US, we're going to do a trade deal with the US. Trade deal is never going to be done with this country, with the UK. Not when you've got this nonsense going on with Brexit, and not while you've got this Northern Ireland protocol situation that is still making Northern Ireland ungovernable. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Before that clip, you heard Anna Soubry. And Anna Soubry was saying the same thing. Everybody knew who Liz Truss was, just like Camilla Cavendish said. MPs knew who she was. Everyone, the world knew who Liz Truss was. And yet the world still stood and watched. while Rishi Sunak was basically saying no, 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 no. And of course there were others who were. And I get it. The racism of white male 60 something rich Tory voters, Tory members who voted, was certainly a factor in all this. Of course, no one ever talks about that in the English press. You'd think that racism didn't exist if you watched or read the English press, depending on which newspaper that was. It was very clear that these white voters, particularly white male, rich Tory voters over the age of 65, clearly they were racist, and they didn't want a brown man in at number 10. Well, now it looks like that is exactly who they're going to get at number 10 in a matter of days' time. Rishi Sunak is, in my view, going to be the Prime Minister. I said this all the last 2 or 3 months. I said to you, in the last 2 months, I said on pretty much in September that he is waiting in the wings to become Prime Minister. And now it turns out the bookies have made him the odds-on favourite. How about that? And he's going to become the next Prime Minister. And he will be the first brown person. I hate the words person of colour. Because you never call white people people without colour, do you? So why are you calling us people of colour? It's a completely white-centric thing to say, right? People of colour versus people without colour. How come white people don't call themselves people without colour? So why the heck are we, as black or brown people, calling ourselves people of colour? And we're not even calling white people people without colour. And white people aren't calling themselves people without colour. So why are you doing it? Calling yourself people of colour. Or why are you not calling white people people without colour? Because logically speaking, if you're a person with colour, what is a white person? So we should just scrap that term people of colour and call us, whether we're brown or black or Asian or Latino, whatever, you know, come on. Come on now. But he will be the first brown person to be Prime Minister. And I hate that word non-white as well. That's another racist word. But why don't we just call people what they are? People? Hello? But nonetheless, Rishi Sunak will be the first brown person to be Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. It's going to happen. I will guarantee you that it will. One of the things that Anna Soubry, and if it doesn't, I will come back here and I'll say how wrong I was. But I'm not going to be wrong. Anna Soubry in the clip before Camilla Cavendish said, you know, everyone knew who Liz Truss was. They put her in anyway. And one of the things that Anna Soubry said in that second clip, the one before Camilla Cavendish, if you listen closely, she said the Tory party membership was infiltrated. They've been infiltrated. And then my question would have been, Mark Austin of Sky News, what do you mean the Tory party members have been infiltrated? That's the question I would be asking as a journalist. And Mark Austin, who I like actually, I think he's a good journalist, was not good there. He should have asked her what Anna Soubry meant by infiltrated. Because that's what she said. She said the Tory party membership had been infiltrated. Okay, by whom? And then the next question would be, by whom? And then he didn't ask that question either. I wonder why. But the answer really is in what Camilla Cavendish said in the clip afterwards, which is why I played those clips the way I did. Now, the first clip, of course, is the 90-some-odd-second mockery of a resignation speech. It was a joke from Liz Truss, smirking and smiling halfway through it, too, and at the end of it. I thought that was disgraceful. Shows you her contempt for government and governing and for people at large. And her media interviews were an absolute train wreck. Let me point that out to you. But I think Camilla Cavendish, in the last clip, answered the question that Mark Austin of Sky News wouldn't even dare ask Anna Soubry. Because when Anna Soubry says, oh, the Conservative Party membership, they've been infiltrated, you don't let that go as a journalist. You start to press on that. like white and rice. Oh, nothing to see here. Oh, the Conservative Party membership's been infiltrated. Oh, I'm not going to ask. Why wouldn't you ask that question, Mark? If you're a journalist worth your salt, I know you do good work, don't get me wrong, but you let the opportunity go there, and you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have. Shouldn't have. But I think that's deliberate. I really do. But what do I know? The point is that Camilla Cavendish answered that question when she said that a media company called Tortoise Media, T-O-R-T-O-I-S-E, Media, had actually picked, listen to this, listen to me, picked. And this is really something else, by the way. Registered a tortoise, an American, and a Ukrainian to be eligible to vote in the Tory leadership contest on conservative members, as conservative members. How is that possible? Now, I haven't researched what Camilla Cavendish said, but I would tend to believe her. I would like to know more about this. And then I went over to Tortoise Media on Twitter, at Tortoise, T-O-R-T-O-I-S-E, I think it is, yeah. Maybe at Tortoise Media or at Tortoise, and I saw the company right there. And you know what's really something interesting about that company? They have articles. They have these articles about who gets to vote for the Conservatives. That is just very interesting. And this is a very duplicitous game being played by Tortoise Media. Because if what Camilla Cavendish says is correct, and I don't have a reason to doubt it, although I'd like to do my own independent research, and sometime I should. This is such a duplicitous thing. They do this expose about, oh, if she moves into, this is from September, if Liz Truss moves into Downing Street next week, as polls suggest is likely, she will be the first, and I talked about this earlier, she will be the first British Prime Minister voted into office by neither the general public nor members of Parliament. And it's just incredible. It talks about how they did this journalistic research, and they were trying to get people to tell them who it was that voted. We requested anonymized data on the demographics of the party membership information and how members' identities are verified. And oh my goodness, this is the same part. This is the same media company that Camilla Cavendish, in that clip I played earlier, said was actually registering Americans and Ukrainians and a tortoise to be members of the Conservative Party membership and vote. And this company's running this, oh, this report, we want to know who's in the... I mean, this is duplicitous. This is disturbing, is what it is. It's hard to think of a more important public function than appointing the next leader of the country. So in our letter back to the party today, we started the process of seeking judicial review, challenging the party's denial that it's carrying out a public function and its refusal to answer our questions. Now, this is so duplicitous. This is the same company that Camilla Cavendish is saying is actually registering a tortoise and an American and a Ukrainian. That sounds like a bit of a joke that's about to start, the beginning of a joke. None of which exist to be eligible to vote in the Tory leadership contest as Conservative members. And this same media organization has put out this article that I'm reading from. Oh, this is not just about the Conservatives. All major parties are secretive about member demographics. Nor have we asked the Conservatives to disclose any identifying personal information about their members. But we do want to know how many are voting, how the party checks who they are, how its voting register is independently verified, and how it makes sure the election is not susceptible to foreign interference. Well, as you heard Camilla Cavendish say, this same company that's just being read from by yours truly here, from their very pages, are apparently doing this. They're registering a tortoise, an American, and a Ukrainian to be eligible to vote in the Tory leadership contest as Conservative members. Now, I don't know if that's part of their research, if that's what Camilla Cavendish is pointing to as the experiment, as part of this story, or is that some sinister thing that they're doing? But either way, Either way, there's a lot wrong with that. And it shows you how vulnerable the infrastructure is, which is what I referred to earlier. Wow. Maybe that's what she's talking about. I would like to get some more context from Camilla Cavendish. I didn't watch BBC Question Time. I don't like BBC Question Time. And Fiona Bruce is one of the most reactionary people. Boy, when you should have seen the look on her face when Camilla Cavendish was laying out what you just heard there in that clip. Oh, Fiona Bruce did not like it. Oh, no. The BBC is a Tory organization. Let's not get that twisted. But this is, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was the Tortoise folks doing research. I'd have to go and dig deep myself here. But the point is that that's not good anyway. And if they did get to vote in that election, oh boy, it would be very easy to see how someone like Liz Truss could end up in the position that she ended up in.
Well, thank you, Sir Graham. It's an honour to be elected as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party. I'd like to thank the 1922 Committee, the party chairman, and the Conservative Party for organising one of the longest job interviews in history. Thank you very much.
Those words were a few of the words that Liz Truss said on September the 5th, 2022, when she had just found out that she would be the Conservative leader and new Prime Minister. In fact, she'd already known that before the announcement was made public. I mean, she was told backstage, along with Rishi Sunak, several minutes before the actual announcement was made for the public. So she kind of feigned that she, was overjoyed. Obviously, was very happy. Rishi Sunak already knew what the result was before it was announced, and you saw his look. But those were the first few words that Liz Truss spoke on that day on September the 5th, 2022. And that seems like a lifetime ago, but it was only 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. Wow. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Well, I want to just kind of close things out here, dear listener. And I thank you for your time and listening. We have a couple of things. One, the media reporting all of this like a horse race. That's what the corporate news media does, whether it's in the US or the UK. And not getting to the bottom of things that need to be got to the bottom of. And then the other thing is the long-term look at this, how it damages democracy when you don't allow for general elections and you have prime minister after prime minister in one party, in this case the Tory party, kicking around the premiership of the land like it's a football. The World Cup is next month, but this is ridiculous. Oh, you can have it. Oh, no, you have it. You have it. You have it. Passing around the football that is called the Premiership of the United Kingdom. That's supposed to be a precious office. That's supposed to be an office that you take seriously. You don't get off a podium and smirk as you resign. What the hell are you doing? Who the hell do you think you are? When Theresa May resigned back in 2019, she cried. She actually cared about the office. And there were things about Theresa May's policies that I wasn't a fan of. She was a Remainer, so there you go. That was a good thing. But there's very little after that that I agreed with Theresa May on. All I can say is she had the decency to resign. She didn't sit around saying, I'm a fighter and not a quitter. And when the time came to resign and she gave her resignation speech, she cried. That's genuine, real emotion. And good for her for showing you that she has emotions and she has feelings, because she was criticized much the same way that Liz Truss was about, she's wooden and robotic, doesn't have a sense of humor. And when you actually got to meet Theresa May, I have not been able to meet her. I've seen her twice at PMQs, but never ever met her while she was prime minister. But there were so many stories that I had heard and read from people who actually had actually met Theresa May, whether as prime minister or not. And all of these stories are these wonderful, lovely stories about Theresa May is very nice and she makes you laugh and she puts you at ease and she's a really funny person and da 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 da. And, you know, when you're in the public spotlight, though, it can be different. And there you go. And I think that sometimes for me, I felt that Theresa May was a little bit uncomfortable with all of the spotlight. But at least she worked hard doing what she was trying to do with the withdrawal agreement, which her party basically rebelled against her on and didn't vote with her on. And she tried to do what she had to do within the confines of a very difficult spot. And she resigned and she cried. And you had these close-ups in some of the right-wing newspapers, very unflattering close-ups of Theresa May and her face scrunched up as she's crying. Because when we cry, that's what we do, right? So the camera went really full in on her. I think it was the Daily Mail, which would not shock me, or the Daily Express, one of those two. And my goodness, it was so unflattering. And they did that deliberately to her. If Liz Truss had ever done that, they would not, I don't think, at least have this big close-up on her. But the point I'm trying to make here is that Theresa May had some feeling for the job. She cared. Liz Truss, with her resignation, she just smiled at the end like it was, oh, a picnic. It's my playground. And that's my problem with all of this, too. It's my concern with this contempt for the office that you hold, this governance for self-interest and self-enrichment. That's the only kind of governing the Tories do, is the governing of self-interest and self-enrichment. And thus you get a Liz Truss, and thus you get before her a Boris Johnson. And Boris Johnson is so craven that he wants to get right back into this office, never mind the fact that he promoted an alleged sexual assaulter. That's no big deal. And then lied about doing it. Oh, no. Never mind. That's what got him booted out of number 10 in the first place. Oh, but don't mind that. We don't care about immorality. We're conservatives, you see. We are conservatives. So we don't care about that. We'll just keep doing all these immoral things, and we'll keep backing people who do immoral things, and keep backing people who do all these disgusting things. Oh, no, we're fine. Just ridiculous stuff. And that's my concern. This erosion of trust in governance. And the Tories have brought this on themselves, along with other people in that party and outside it, who I've talked about earlier. They're damaging the credibility of the United Kingdom. And they're damaging the infrastructure and the economic apparatus of the country. It's all self-inflicted. Brexit was part of this. It's part of this shock doctrine that Naomi Klein writes about. And so was this mini budget, the so-called mini budget last month, also part of that same shock doctrine. We need election reform in the United Kingdom. We need it now, and we need a general election now. By Monday, I guess we're going to get a rough idea of who will be at number 10 Downing Street. And I think it's going to be Rishi Sunak, as I've been predicting for a number of weeks. And we need to deal with infrastructure properly. We need to deal with the NHS. We need to deal with a number of things. And this election reform is going to be very important as well. Because democracy on the line in the UK as well, as it is in the US here, as it is in a number of other places across the world, we need to have stability. And you can't have it by having 5 prime ministers in 6 years or 3 in less than 7 months. You can't have that. In fact, they make it 3 in 4 months. You can't have that. 3 prime ministers in 3.5 months? Really? It's about 3 prime ministers in 3 months. Boris Johnson was there into September, so it's really 3 prime ministers in less than 8 weeks. It's unbelievable. In fact, in less than 7 weeks. It's just ridiculous because there'll be a prime minister announced next week. So you've had 3 prime ministers in the space of 7 weeks. That's not democracy at all. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.
But I just want to get this question in because it's something that is very close to us and we are running out of time. Child poverty, lots of questions about that sent into us on Twitter. Your government has been in charge for 12 years. In that time, child poverty has increased in the Northeast. What are you doing about that?
Well, the number one thing we need to do to help deal with the issues that families face is to help more people get into work and create those high-paid jobs. And that is exactly what our mini budget is about. It's about getting Britain moving, it's about getting the infrastructure built, and it's about attracting investment around our country, including into the northeast.
We've had lots of questions about the sea life deaths on the northeast coast. Are you committed to another investigation and really sorting that problem?
I would need to look into that issue, to be honest.
Right. You haven't already, then?
No, I haven't. I know that the Environment Agency are looking at the issues, but I will certainly be raising that with the Environment Secretary.